Many iconic artists in the 60s had a few things going. One, a muse. Two, affiliations with the legendary Chelsea Hotel in New York. And three, a pending struggle with their identity and how to express that on canvas. Australian artist Brett Whiteley was no exception. The tale of Whiteley's relationship with art and the love for his wife, Wendy, is being adapted in a play by Riverside Theatres and Theatre of Image. Right now, I'm joined by Kim Carpenter on the line to tell us about the show. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
So I guess of all the artists that have made an impression on Australian art history, why did you choose Brett Whiteley?
Oh, well, that was easy because his life and work run in parallel. His life was full of peaks and valleys. It was turbulent. It was dramatic and colourful and entertaining. And so not only is his artwork indelible, so was his life. And he is constantly still in the news. And so I felt that it was the obvious choice to choose Brett as the iconic artist.
I'm interested in knowing what was so special about Brett and Wendy's bond that it was worth exploring.
Well, Wendy gave up her own art career for Brett. To begin with, it was always said initially by other people that Wendy's work and Wendy's drawing in particular was better than Brett's, and he really worked at it, whereas hers came more easily. So that, in a sense, is pretty a pretty extraordinary sacrifice to make to actually give up your own potential career for your partner or husband. And so, therefore, there was an automatic synergy because they spoke the same language in terms of their appreciation and understanding of art from the time they went to Europe and looked at the famous paintings in the big galleries in Florence and Italy and then went on to live in London. So, you know, he was, they met when she was 15 and he was 17. And so it was a very long-term partnership and as lovers, as friends, as confidants, and as his muse.
You said they met when they were 15, when Wendy was 15.
Yeah.
How did they meet? It's incredibly
young.
They
met through a drawing studio where they were both attending a drawing studio. And so that's where they first met, and they'd meet for coffee in what was then a bohemian coffee shop in Rose Street in Sydney. And it was pretty instant.
You said that action. Wendy kind of sacrificed her practice in their relationship. Is there a sense of loss explored in the play for her artistic development?
Well, her artistic expression. It was realised through the fact that she helped him, not just psychologically, but physically in setting up still lives, of arranging the world that he lived in and worked in. So she was very good at creating an environment, an atmosphere. And, I mean, there's a line in the piece that Wendy's art is herself. And it's the way she dresses, the way she creates her own home in terms of the interior design. And the garden, of course, today is also her own creation. It's an expression of that comes from her and her taste and her aesthetic.
They've spent some time as a couple at the Chelsea Hotel in New York, where other residents include Patti Smith and Robert Mapplethorpe. Can you explain or elaborate on their time there?
Well, that was a pretty hot, frenetic time in New York because it was 1967 and 1968. They lived at the Chelsea Hotel. And Janis Joplin was their babysitter. Jimi Hendrix was there. There were an enormous number of writers, artists, singers, musicians. So it was a hothouse for artists. But outside those four walls, there were street protests about the Vietnam War. So there was all the anti-war sentiment going on. There was a lot of rage and unsettlement in the streets of New York and in the general sort of psyche of New York at that time. So that was impending on this sanctuary world of the Chelsea Hotel. And so, you know, there were the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy at that time. And in a sense, you look at America now, and it's just a reflection of what was happening then, in a sense. It's the violence of America that seems to be in the American DNA. And so Brett created The American Dream, which is an 18-panel masterwork. And that was his first sense of disappointment and abandonment when it was rejected by the New York art dealers because it was just all too much for them. And in a way, he was telling them the truth, but they just didn't want to know it. And so that's when they fled to Lavender Bay.
You mentioned that he had his Brett had his first experience of disappointment with the rejection of his artwork. Is that a theme that comes up over his life story?
Sorry, I didn't catch that because someone just banged a door here.
Yeah, no problem. You mentioned that Brett experienced his first kind of time of disappointment. Is that a part of his life story that comes up time and time again?
Yes, it is. The sense of struggle is always there. And I think that underpins all independent artists' work, where you go into an empty space and there's an empty white canvas there and you approach it, and often with fear, until you make the first mark. And once you feel the sometimes divine intervention enters into it, you take off. And so that is portrayed in the Brett and Wendy in the theatre production through dancers, live music, as well as actors. The actors portray the characters of Brett and Wendy, Brett's sister, Franny Hopkirk, Brett's mother and father, Beryl and Clem Whiteley, and other characters. But the dancers represent the internal world of Brett. So they are the line, the shape, the form, the texture of his paintings. So dance, which is an abstract medium, sort of equates with all those qualities that go to make up a painting, you know, colour, texture, form, etc.
Wonderful. So Peter Kennard is doing the score for the show. Can you talk us through what we can expect from the music?
Well, there's musical references and musical homages to music of the time that reflects the period, whether it's the 50s with Teresa Brewer or Cole Porter, which is more reflection of the parents' 1950s world in Longaville in Sydney, and Brett's childhood, through to the 60s and the popular music of the 60s, such as David Bowie, etc. And then, you know, the music reflects this homages to popular music, but then Peter has created a score that is his, and that is very, as references these iconic pieces of music and interprets them in his way that is able to be realised by dancers and actors on stage. So there's a soundtrack that runs throughout the whole piece, and it's an underscore as well as taking full flight at times.
Wonderful. Well, that's probably about all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Kim.
Okay, thanks very much.